This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The Trump trade team is in China. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin is leading a U.S. delegation in Beijing today. Mnuchin, along with Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross and the president's top economic advisors, are there for trade negotiations with China. The relationship between the two countries is especially tense right now. The Trump administration has taken a hard line that China isn't playing fair when it comes to trade. With us to discuss this and more is Seth Carpenter. He was a top Treasury official in the Obama administration, and he's currently managing director and chief U.S. economist at UBS Securities. Good morning, Seth.
Good morning, Sabri.
What can Secretary Mnuchin and the rest of the U.S. trade delegation to China realistically hope to achieve from this trip, do you think?
So in my view, the first thing that they really need to achieve is to make sure there's a clear communication channel between the two governments. There had been a longstanding apparatus that was called the Strategic and Economic Dialogue between the U.S. and China, and that seems to have fallen apart. And that gets in the way when you are trying to have these high-level connections. And then once they're able to do that, then they really need to make sure they understand what is open to negotiation on both sides.
You know, the big gist of this conflict between the U.S. and China comes down to competitiveness of each country. And I just wonder, while this delegation is in China, are there things that the U.S. should be doing to make itself more competitive here at home?
So I think there are lots of ways to think about it. And I would first point out that trade has the possibility to be beneficial on both sides. It doesn't have to be a zero-sum game. But second, and more specifically, to the extent, and I think it's not the right way to think about it, but to the extent the discussion is just about the bilateral trade deficit, one could imagine the U.S. speeding up its ability to export, for example, natural gas. The U.S. can produce a great deal of that. And China is a massive consumer of energy, and natural gas would be a move away from coal towards a slightly cleaner source of energy.
The other big item we're following is the Federal Reserve. It finished up its latest meeting yesterday, and the main takeaway there was that we are almost at the 2% level of inflation that it believes is the healthiest for the economy. What is driving the rise in inflation, and where do we think that will lead the Fed this year?
So I think there are two major sources of the increase in inflation that we're seeing. One part is inflation last year was just held down for some transitory idiosyncratic reasons. Last March, for example, there was a sharp decline in the prices of lots of cell phone cellular services. That's not going to continue. And as a result, once those transitory factors end, we'll see inflation rise. And the second reason, the U.S. economy has been expanding, the unemployment rate has been falling, jobs have been created, and just general price pressure has been rising over time. And we think that price pressure is going to increase over the rest of the year. If our forecast is right for inflation, the Fed's going to get a little bit more than they anticipated, and as a result, they'll hike just a bit more this year than they had anticipated.
Seth Carpenter, Chief U.S. Economist at UBS Securities, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Sabrina. It's been a pleasure.
Amazon is taking off the gloves in a fight with Seattle, where it's headquartered. The company says it's freezing some major expansion projects in the city, threatening up to 7,000 jobs, because the city council there is considering a new tax targeting Amazon. The tax would charge large employers there about $500 per employee. Amazon stock is down 0.5%. The area of the U.S. along the border with Mexico is one of the least internet-connected areas in the country. A map from the Federal Reserve shows fewer than 60% of homes in Texas border counties have access. TPR tech reporter Paul Flav visited the border city of Far, which is working to reverse this.
When Brandon Marquez has a research paper, he hunkers down in the school library. It closes at 5. Then his mom drives him 20 minutes to the far public library, where he can work on a computer until it closes at 9:30. After that, he heads to a fast food restaurant with free Wi-Fi.
When you have, like, limited time, I mean, you have to just go quickly. And sometimes you don't do the work correctly. So, I mean, that's, like, a disadvantage.
Marquez, a junior, gets good grades despite being one of the tens of thousands of students along the border without internet access in their homes, something district officials say is vital. 55% of homes in this area have broadband internet access, so the city of Far is connecting 50 students' homes to broadband internet for free as a pilot project. Ultimately, the city plans to construct a fiber optic network to its buildings at an estimated cost of around $5.5 million. The plan is to then expand their free Wi-Fi program or lease it to low-cost internet providers for low-income communities. Jordana Barton works in community development for the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. It partnered on the project with FAR to create a stronger business environment.
This is actually an area where we could intervene and have a major impact on every area of development.
Much of the border is made up of impoverished neighborhoods with substandard housing. Some areas lack paved roads, water, and indoor plumbing. Barton says access to the internet means access to health services, banks, and education. Drew Lentz's company, Frontera, was hired to install the service for the free pilot project, but he says it's been hard signing people up.
For whatever reason, it might be their immigration status. Maybe there's a language barrier that can't be bridged.
FAR is making progress, though. Dozens of families are connected. Organizers hope the community will be a model to connect the hundreds of thousands along the border. 30 minutes west, the city of Alton recently proposed a free community Wi-Fi program. In FAR, Texas, I'm Paul Flav for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.